Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Welcome back to the Pack-A-Day Radio Show, live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, The Fan Studios, and powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook. Reminder that the Mason Crosby Show with Mitch Thunder Nellis is coming up next from 9 to 11. Also, Wade versus Diener is back for year 3. Join NBA stars Dwayne Wade and Travis Diener on June 27th for the Champions for Literacy celebration as they make an impact in Milwaukee and at Marquette. Tickets on sale at wadevsdiener.givesmart.com. Again, wadevsdiener.givesmart.com. Right now, we are being joined by my good friend Matt Fralick, Pack-A-Day Podcast. You can find him on social media at @Matt_Fray_. Matt, how the heck are you doing?
I'm doing great, Andy. We're a month away from training camp. It's finally not, 95 plus degrees, which I do fall in the same camp as you. I heard you talking to Justice earlier this week. Definitely love the 90 plus in humidity over the cold. And my power didn't go out last night. So also, I'm very thankful for that.
Yeah, that was a pain. Had to get up early this morning and record today's podcast because just as I was ready to hit record yesterday, power completely goes out for a solid 2-3 hours. So that was not ideal, but we made it work nonetheless. And yeah, I'm excited that everything's working appropriately today. So I get to talk to you and we get to go over not only Packers training camp, but everything that we kind of know about this team right now. Matt, I want to start in an interesting spot, a position that maybe in the past, the Packers, maybe we didn't want to talk about because we didn't exactly know what it was going to be. But I think this Packers linebacker room is one that's actually pretty fun to talk about, primarily due to Edgerrin Cooper. But this is an interesting group from Quay Walker in a year coming off of, we saw signs that Quay could maybe break out this past year, which I think was a positive step for him. Edgerrin Cooper looked amazing. You have a third round pick in Tyron Hopper. That's still an interesting lottery ticket. They bring back Isaiah McDuffie. Isaiah Simmons is an interesting player. How do you view this linebacker room and what they can potentially bring to the table in Green Bay in this upcoming season?
Yeah, I actually like the linebacker room quite a bit, especially with, bringing back McDuffie and then bringing in Isaiah Simmons. I know most fans, or at least, NFL draft people, like when Isaiah Simmons was coming out of Clemson, like huge player to get. I don't think he's lived up to that hype, but ultimately, like, just another chess piece that the Packers are able to acquire. I don't know if he's going to start many games. Special teams would be awesome, but the athletic ability where you can move him around is going to be great. I'm glad you actually had this as a topic because I saw yesterday PFF put up that article about their top 10 units of linebackers. They obviously did the top 32. But Packers at 18th, I thought that was a little bit, underwhelming between, the upside that Edgerrin Cooper has and if Quay Walker can stay healthy. I feel like those are two very dynamic, young, athletic linebackers. And then you add in those pieces that I've kind of already mentioned, those veterans between the Isaiah twins. And then if Tyron Hopper can, contribute some way, I thought 18 was a little bit low. I mean, they're definitely in the top half in my opinion, but I'm excited. And I think exactly what you said, it was almost like over the last couple of years, maybe a decade, where it's like we kind of avoided the topic of conversation. We're like, we might have a guy here or there, but really it's going to be these like fill-in guys that we're hoping can make some tackles and hoping can run some guys down. And generally they were stopping that over the last couple of years with some veteran free agents. Obviously the Devondre Campbell one sticks out as how impactful it was, but now that they're actually getting some homegrown guys and then adding in the back half of the depth chart with some of these veterans and guys that have been able to keep on the roster like McDuffie, I'm excited for it. I think the sky's the limit. If Cooper and Quay can be on the same field at the same time in some fashion, I know there's conversation about maybe moving Quay to the outside a little bit, but like those two alone, I think could be a perennial, top five unit in the league by the end of the year.
Yeah, I do think, to your point, I think from a Quay standpoint, I think there still needs to be some strides there to potentially get to that point. But I do think that this is still a very exciting linebacking group. And I think with Jeff Hafley and how he utilizes these players, just having two complete freaks in Quay Walker and Edgerrin Cooper on your second level adds so much in and of itself. You have a little bit more of that kind of assignment sure guy that's going to play the position exactly the way that it's supposed to be played in Isaiah McDuffie. And then, like I said, a couple lottery tickets in Tyron Hopper and Isaiah Simmons. And for me, this is as fun of a group. I don't know that there's ever been a group where there's not a, like a single player on the entire depth chart going into camp that like I don't like or am not intrigued by it some way, shape, or form. Like Christian Welch, we saw last year, is a very good special teams player and is like a fifth, sixth linebacker, gives you exactly what you want, kind of in that Eric Wilson mold of, yeah, you can go out there and play linebacker if you need him to. You probably don't want him out there a ton, but if you need to, it's not going to be something that's like terrible. And in the meantime, he's going to give you great special teams. And Ron Johnson is actually one of the more fun undrafted free agents on this entire team. So just the group in its entirety, there's no fluff there. Like everyone's there for a reason. I think there's going to be some fun competitions between Isaiah Simmons, Christian Welch, and Jamon Johnson on the back end. I think even the starting spots, at least that third spot with, you know, I think McDuffie, Simmons, Hopper are all going to be competing for that. Just think it's a really fun group overall. And for the first time in a long time, I look at the linebacker group and I'm not just like, oh, what's happening here?
Yeah, I think it's fun. I'm hoping Tyron Hopper can, you know, come into his own. I think every time I hear that he was reminded, I should say, that he's a third round pick, it's like, dang, really? They got it. They took him in the third round. Now it's still that just shocking to me. So hopefully he can come into his own. But I agree, like you go all the way down to that sixth spot, and it's still impressive with like Welch and a couple of the UDFA guys you mentioned.
We're being joined by Matt Frelick, Pack-A-Day Podcast. You can find him on social media at @Matt_Frey_. Let's go to the offensive line. I want to touch base on Jordan Morgan for a little bit because I think this is going to be one of the players that is really one of the most intriguing to keep an eye on during training camp. We already know left tackle is where he's been working the most, and he and Rashid Walker seem destined for a battle for left tackle coming up in camp. I still think he's going to have some say at potentially right guard with Sean Ryan as well. There's obviously that conversation of like, hey, did the Packers, you know, waste a first round pick because he's not out there start? I think he's going to have a real opportunity to play this year. Even if he ends up being the sixth guy, I think he's going to get in there. I'm excited about Jordan Morgan in year two, but where do you view this offensive line battle and what Morgan can bring to the team in year two?
Yeah, I'm excited for it, especially with just some, you know, young guys that are competing. We're not worried about some aging veterans that are trying to compete for a spot. So the way I look at it with Morgan, and I've looked at it probably for, I don't know, the last 365 days and change, is like they're kind of stacking the deck for Jordan Morgan to have success. You know, I like Rashid Walker. I like what he does. I think he's a little bit of a liability in the run game. Whether or not Jordan Morgan gets the de facto at some point to be the left tackle, or like you mentioned, the right guard, I think they really want him to work out, for better or for worse, that he was a first round pick. I know fans obviously, you know, are clamoring that, hey, you had first round value on this guy. He basically didn't play at all last year. Most of that was due to injury, but I think they're going to at some point, if Rashid Walker stumbles slightly, whether it be with injury or just, you know, lack of performance, whether that's in the season or even in training camp or preseason, they're going to give that to Jordan Morgan, is my guess. It's not a bad, you know, thing to have. They basically have six guys that were like, hey, this is going to be an interesting carousel. We'll probably, as we get more into July and August, we're going to put the best five out there more and more from Goody and Matt LaFleur. But at the end of the day, I think it is Jordan Morgan's opportunity to win, but it's definitely Rashid Walker's, you know, opportunity to hold tight and make it, you know, hey, this is my spot. I'm going to hold this as long as I can. You guys might have to pay me. And if you don't have to pay me, I'm going to go get a bag in the offseason, as one of the premier left tackles in free agency. So I want Jordan Morgan to win a spot for sure, because I think it's just in the best interest for the Packers and with that talent. But if he can stay healthy, I think he can compete at either of those two spots. Where he ends up, I'm not so sure. I think it's for the other guys in front of him to kind of compete and hold him off, but great competition to have. And that's one of the, I'd say one of the five that I'm position groups that I'm really interested in over the next month to kind of see where it progresses through training camp.
With Steelers offensive tackle Dan Moore getting over $20 million per year in free agency, I'm sure Rashid Walker is licking his chops for what he can potentially get on the free agent market this upcoming offseason. And to me, Rashid is better than Dan Moore. So, yeah, I'm sure that there are, you know, some feelings from Rashid that, A, he should start, and B, if he does, he's going to get a huge payday. But that's going to be kind of an interesting conversation, because if Morgan all of a sudden wins the left tackle job and is just the starter, and Rashid is like the rotational tackle or like the next guy up, I mean, Rashid is like losing millions of dollars by the game by not starting and being out there. That's going to be an interesting conversation. If I were him and his agent, I would probably just demand a trade in that situation. There's not a lot of teams, though, that are looking for a starting left tackle or even right tackle at this point, unless there's an injury. So it just becomes, my guess is we're going to see a rotation between Jordan Morgan and Rashid Walker, that they'll both be out there and getting some snaps. But that's a really interesting one to keep an eye on. We're being joined by Matt Frelick, Pack-A-Day Podcast. You can find him on social media at @Matt_Frey_. I want to talk about this wide receiver room. And I want to start by saying, if you just had to predict, right? right now. I know that there's maybe not a true number one wide receiver in Green Bay, at least at the moment. Maybe somebody develops into that. I don't think it matters as much as people want it to matter. What I care about less is who's number one and more who's the go-to for Jordan Love in key situations. And maybe just by default, that's the number one wide receiver, whatever. But it's 3rd and 10. You have to have it. It's a goal line situation. You have to have it. Games on the line, you have to have it. If you had to predict right now, who is Jordan Love's quote unquote go-to receiver in those key situations, who do you think it's going to be?
Yeah, I think it's, you know, kind of a passive answer, but it's going to be Romeo Doubs for me. I just think there's been those different opportunities in his first start in Lambeau. Obviously, it was a big connection with Romeo Doubs on the goal line there. There's been multiple third downs over the years where they've been able to connect. I think it's just the continuity they've had. That's not to say, I think that's maybe my answer for August and September when they're playing preseason and regular season games early on. But that answer might change pretty drastically once we get into November and December football. And that could be Jaden Reed. That could be Matthew Golden. But at this point, Romeo Doubs, I think, has proven that he's kind of the, the safety blanket, if you will, kind of like what Randall Cobb ended up being for Aaron Rodgers at the end of his career. And when he came back also kind of was even that as he got a little bit longer in the tooth. So I say Romeo Doubs right now. I'm not like thrilled by that answer. I think he's deserved it at some point. Obviously all the receiving core, I know we'll get into a little bit here too. Like they need to shore up those drops. The drops were significantly impactful this last year. And I think that's just something that overall everyone needs to work on, and Doubs included. So I would say Doubs right now, but don't be surprised in 2-3 months if you ask me the same question, if it's changed to one of those younger receivers who I want to be the go-to guy. Just like right now, that seems like 87 is the main dude that Love's looking for on those go-to plays.
We're in lockstep on that. I think it's Romeo Doubs as well, and I am excited to see what he can do this year. He looks ultra locked in, motivated, and I think he does just have a little bit more of that connection with Jordan Love. I'm not talking about like Rodgers Nelson or Rodgers Devontae here, but I do think that there is just a little bit more of that synergy there, and I do think there's an opportunity for him to kind of be that guy in some of those key situations. I want to throw an idea by you and just get your kind of thoughts on it and how this could potentially work. I think last year we saw Jaden Reed second half of the year. I think some injuries played a part in this as well, but just kind of had a little bit of a hitting of the wall and didn't have the same second half that he did in the first half. And I'm kind of wondering, Jaden Reed did a lot of the punt return stuff. He did a lot of the gadget stuff. I kind of just want Jaden Reed to go out and play wide receiver in 2025. And I think now if you do keep Mecole Hardman on this roster, I think Mecole Hardman can be your punt returner. I think you've got both Mecole Hardman and Savion Williams, amongst others, once Christian Watson comes back as well. You have a lot of different receivers who can do a lot of that gadget stuff. Heck, you can even line up some running backs to do some of that gadget stuff as well. Maybe Marshawn Lloyd can do some of it, but they have the pieces to do that. I kind of want to see Jaden Reed go out and play wide receiver, do less of all the other stuff. And now that you have some of these other guys who can do a lot of that same stuff, and quite frankly, I think Savion Williams and Mecole Hardman might even be a little bit more gadget worthy and even being able to be used in those ways, maybe even a little bit better, and even be, in Mecole Hardman's case, a better punt returner than Jaden. I think that can kind of help everyone, where you end up with a better punt returner, you end up with better gadget plays, especially again, getting Savion Williams involved in there, I think could make a lot of sense. And you allow Jaden Reed to just go out and be the best receiver that he can possibly be. I think it can kind of be a win-win-win situation. You can tell me I'm an idiot if you think I'm an idiot.
No, I don't think you're an idiot. I think that makes a ton of sense. I don't know if this is like, NFL league-wide thing, but I just tend to see that the Packers, every time they bring in, a rookie, or not even a rookie, a first-year, second-year guy that's, somewhat athletic, they're always trying them at punt return or kick return. And maybe that's just a small sample size over the last couple of years, but I don't know if other teams do that. It seems like, I would like if they had a specific guy like Hardman or like Savion Williams who could, might fit that, example, or I guess that stereotype, but actually is more prone to do that. And I just feel like they've done that over the years where it's like, hey, we kind of want this guy to develop, whether it be on the offensive side of the ball or the defensive side of the ball, but they kind of stunt his growth a little bit, having them be a punt returner or kick returner. We know Keyshawn Nixon has basically said, I don't want to do that anymore. So they went ahead and essentially got two guys, one in free agency, one in the draft, and Savion Williams. But I agree. I think, the 2024 season that was Jaden Reed was like high highs to start the year and then very, very low lows. I mean, significant drop issues in 2024 compared to 2023. I like the way they were running the offense when Malik Willis was out there. I think there was probably too much gadget stuff and too many, jet sweeps. I still think that is part of what he needs to be on the Matt LaFleur offense. That is kind of the, you know, the straw that stirs the drink for them. I don't think he's ever going to be like this, you know, 90 plus catch, you know, receiver. I just think he's going to need to get a lot of touches to make it flow for everyone else, get other guys involved, whether it be in the run game and, you know, in the pass game, in the short yardage with maybe Tucker Kraft and some of these other, you know, smaller receivers. But I agree. I think Jaden Reed has the potential to be the most impactful offensive player for them, probably outside Jordan Love and Josh Jacobs. And it might not be in, you know, a stretch of volume or targets or, you know, touchdowns, but I think he is the guy that, like, if they can focus in him on just playing receiver, actually having him more of as a weapon in the, you know, the vertical passing game or over the middle, I think that's huge. And I, like you kind of said, like, I was a little disappointed in what that back half of the year looked like, because I was hoping he would make some significant strides last year. He didn't. And then we saw, you know, there's just the plethora of drops that they had across all those receivers. So yeah, let's let Jaden Reed focus on the offensive side of the ball. Let's let Savion Williams or Mecole Hardman or whoever ends up, you know, being the punt returner or kick returner, focus on that, because I think that'll be their primary role if and when they make the team. But yeah, let's let Jaden Reed just be kind of more of a stud in the offense and learn the receiver position. And if it is more of an end around stuff or, you know, jet sweeps or just those, you know, orbit motions, I'm totally fine with that, because I think that's where he definitely can succeed.
You're listening to Matt Fralick, Pack a Day podcast, right here live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, the Fan Studios, and powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook. You can find him on social media at @Matt_Fray_. In your ideal world, Matt, how does this wide receiver depth chart look when the Packers break camp? And then maybe more specifically, once Christian Watson comes back from injury, who do you want on this roster? And, you know, who do you want kind of getting your primary targets, and who's maybe a little bit more in that kind of backup role?
Yeah, so I start now. It's pretty chalky, again, kind of like my Dobbs answer, but the four that I look to is Reed, Golden, Dobbs, and Wicks. Wicks is kind of that, could be, you know, I want him to do well. He could be easily shifted out with Watson at some point when Watson comes back. Loving to see that Watson is ahead of schedule with the ACL. I mean, that is incredible. I'm still, you know, biting my tongue and crossing my fingers that that will be the case as it comes early in the season, but those are the four. At that point, I mean, that's one of the competitions that I'm so fascinated by. There's so many receivers on that roster. We already talked about Savion and Mecole Hardman, where their opportunities could be. Then we have Bo Melton and Malik Heath. We know the conversation around Bo Melton, where he's trying to line up either side of the ball or any position really at this point. Like, there's just so many players at that receiver position that I think at some point they absolutely have to make a trade. If they don't, they're going to be losing out on a significant amount of value to cut some guys. I know you had talked maybe a couple months ago, Andy, maybe right after the draft, of like cutting a few of these guys, seeing who can get back on the practice squad. I think that will happen. It's just a matter of, like, you know, can we get some value with the back half of the roster, whether it's, you know, Melton, whether it's Heath, whether it is, you know, Dobbs or Wicks. There's been conversations of trades for both of them. I think they like both of those guys' talents a lot. I know every single offseason, last two or three, we've had, you know, stats that come out about Dontayvion Wicks and just how explosive he can be. Dobbs with the injuries, you know, and the concussion concerns, I don't know what his trade value would be, but I look at those four being the primary ones at that point. Then, like, the fifth and sixth, I kind of leave that up to, you know, Savion Williams obviously making the team more than likely. And then if they still need Mecole Hardman at some point, I assume he'd make the roster. But, you know, once you get past that, it's like, are they really going to keep seven receivers? That kind of seems crazy. So I feel like it's in their best interest to move someone via a trade. Otherwise, you're going to have some of these guys that, you know, are probably going to get snagged if you cut them, and you're not going to get an opportunity to add them back to the practice squad. Guys like, you know, Cornelius Johnson, which would be great to get in the practice squad, just like he was last year. I think he'll be able to slip through, but there's just so many receivers right now that it's very difficult. And especially if you're holding out for Christian Watson to come back sooner than later, it only makes it more difficult. So I like those top four. That fourth one with Wicks / Watson, I'm interested to see when that can come back, but I like where they're at. And as far as the primary receiver, kind of what you asked earlier, like, I want Golden to be that guy. I was loving what, you know, the strides he was making in minicamp to be able to, you know, work with the ones right away. That's amazing. So hopefully he can be, you know, a primary one receiver, kind of what you said too. I don't think they have a number one. I don't think it's even in the team's best interest right now, talent wise and just development wise, to say we have a number one receiver. But it's a good problem to have, but at some point it's going to be a little disappointing, because there's going to be a couple guys that are cut. We're like, damn, what could have been with Malik Heath, or what could have been with, you know, insert receiver. So we'll see what happens, but it's definitely a interesting competition through this, you know, training camp and preseason. And I think it's less of this, as over the last couple of years of like, hey, we kind of have our core. We just got to figure out where they're slotting. We're going to have a core, and you guys are going to have to try to battle into that core to make the roster, which is going to be kind of fun to watch.
Fun to watch, and certainly a good problem to have. Matt, before we get you out of here, training camp coming up here in about a month. What are you most looking forward to? What are you going to be keeping an extra eye on?
Yeah, I'm excited. I mean, I already got it circled on that Wednesday. Might make it out there. If not, I'm definitely going on Friday, which will coincide with the owner's meeting. Not sure if I'll get to that. I got the tickets there, so we'll see if I ever make my first owner's meeting. But just the competition and the new...
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Faces. That's my biggest thing. I love getting out there for the first training camp whenever I make it and looking at some of these new guys, like, you know, how big does Aaron Banks look? Anthony Belton, is he a monster like we think? You know, what sort of impact can some of these guys maybe we didn't see last year do? I definitely look for like Marshawn Lloyd, like want to see him stay healthy and in the preseason. And then I think just those, you know, five groups of competition, I've kind of hinted around them, but the offensive line group, corner groups, I think they're going to stay lean there. What the edge kind of looks like, receivers, of course, but it's there's just all this talent, right? And you look even past, you know, when you get in those 60s, 70s, 80s, as far as players on that roster, those back end, like who are those guys that can impact? And every single year, there's at least a player that I go to at one training camp and I'm like, wow, that guy just flashes. Hopefully he can make the team. Generally speaking, it's usually a coin flip if they can do that, but it's just all the competitions and you know, what sort of new wrinkles maybe Matt LaFleur can bring to the offense. And then Jeff Hafley, like giving him more and more of these pieces through free agency or the draft, like, or he's going to line some guys up. It's kind of almost this trend where the Packers are very, very versatile on the offensive line. It's going straight over into the defense, which is a blast to have. And especially as you know, some of these younger pieces they've drafted, I'm excited to see what that chess, you know, game looks like for Hafley on the defensive side.
Yeah, I cannot wait. I think it's going to be a really fun and exciting training camp. You get a couple joint practices in there as well. Preseason family night should be epic. I cannot wait for any of it. I know you're going to be doing a great job covering it over on the Pack a Day podcast. Matt, what do you got coming up and where can we find you on social media?
Yeah, Pack a Day podcast episodes coming out always on Saturday with Janelle Mackey and Eli Berkovitz. Working on a couple guests through this, you know, dead zone, if you will. I know we call dead zone a couple different eras between the end of free agency and the draft, but truly just getting ramped up for training camp and trying to get some people in here that can support us with the Pack a Day podcast. Obviously, that's the main content I'm putting out. You can still follow me and interact with me on Twitter at @Matt_Frey_. DMs are open if anyone's ever traveling in for training camp or anything around the game. I always like to give some people the plugs. I do live in Green Bay, or at least around the area, like yourself. So feel free to reach out if anyone's got any questions, places to park, to tailgate, to a local saloon or dive bar, or some great place to eat at. Feel free to reach out. Always happy to help you guys out.
Appreciate everything that you do, Matt. You do an unbelievable job covering the team and, of course, everything you do, of course, in the Pack a Day podcast as well. Couldn't do it without you, and I appreciate you taking some time today to chat right here on the radio show as well. We'll do it again soon. You enjoy your Thursday, and we'll talk soon, my friend.
You bet. Thanks, Andy.
You bet. That's Matt Frelick. Again, find him on social media at @Matt_Frey_. We'll be right back with our Potawatomi Sportsbook final thought of the day right after this.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.